Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling of the Idaho Cult, a series. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. This story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to episode 4, and so it begins. Lori Cox Ryan married Leland Charles Vallow on February 24, 2006, in Clark County, Nevada. During this time, the fight for Tylee was well underway with Joe Ryan. We went over all of that in episode 3. So if you're starting here, I do recommend that you go back and listen to episode 1, 2, and 3 before you listen to this episode, episode 4. Lori's children, Tylee Ryan and Colby Ryan, were clearly put through a lot of family strife during their childhood. According to documents, Charles Vallow had been diagnosed as bipolar and was medicated for this mental illness. He also had a contentious divorce with his ex-wife, who is the mother of his two older boys. Now, remember in episode 3 when we spoke about Joe Ryan being tasered by Alex Cox and Joe was injured, but he ran from Alex after falling and being tasered? Then Alex pursued Joe until a witness saw this interaction, and then Alex backed away. Well, as we move forward, hindsight became clear to many people associated with Lori that Joe Ryan's premature death was suspicious. We have all had to adapt for the last year and a half to a new normal. Wearing masks, social distancing, just to name a couple. But normal life and normal routines have changed. During this time, I started ordering my groceries through Instacart. You can shop all your favorite stores on a single order. The products you love from your local stores. These products can be delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Instacart highlights deals to help you save money. Instacart will pick the freshest produce and keep your eggs safe too. My 84-year-old mother loves using Instacart. In a recent order, she was able to get a new microwave and toaster. So you see, it isn't just food items. You can help support this podcast by clicking on the link in the show notes below. Plus, you can get free delivery on your first order of $10 or more. As we mentioned in a previous podcast, Alex did do some time for the attack on Joe Ryan. He was convicted of second-degree felony aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Lori totally denied any knowledge of the attack. Alex had to pay $5,000 in restitution, and he was eventually put on probation after his release. In 2014, Charles and Lori, as they were raising Colby and Tylee, decided that they were going to adopt Joshua Vallow. He is the biological grandson of Charles' sister, Kay Woodcock. Kay is married to Larry Woodcock. They called the little boy JJ. JJ is a special needs child and was diagnosed with autism. Kay and Larry were thrilled to have Lori and Charles adopt JJ. At that time, they loved Lori, and they felt Charles and her would provide a wonderful upbringing for JJ. Kay and Larry did remain in the grandparents' role. Social media posts indicate that sometime in 2014, Charles, Lori, Colby, Tylee, and JJ moved to the island of Kauai in the state of Hawaii. They opened and operated a small business while they were on the island. Eventually, they moved back to the mainland between 2016 and 2017. Now, let's get into some of this. Whereas the title of this episode is, And So It Begins. On April 3rd, 2018, at approximately 6 p.m., Tylee's father, Joe Ryan, was found deceased in his apartment in Phoenix, Arizona. Joe was 59 years old. According to a copy of the medical examiner's report, the cause of death was ruled a heart attack, and Joe was cremated. However, if you remember from episode 3, Lori spoke of murdering Joe. She actually spoke on this podcast after Joe Ryan had passed away. The recording was made months after Joe Ryan's death. And remember her quote, "I was going to murder him," she said in the recording, talking about Joe Ryan. "I was going to kill him like the scriptures say." Let's listen.
I'll just start by saying that I am a personal witness of the resurrected Jesus Christ. I am his advocate and I am his friend, and he is with me. I know him, and it was a hard road to get to know him. It's not an easy road, but everything that I chose in the pre-mortal life, I sat down with him, and we discussed what I would have to do to get to this point. I knew everything I was going to do. And everybody agreed, and I made covenants with all of these people that they would play these parts in my life so that I could be here at this time. And it's a very important mission. It's something that I signed up for, so I blame no one but myself for what has happened in my life. When people hear my story, they're like, "Can't believe that you did that. Can't believe you lived through that. Can't believe that you're still here." But I too, like Melanie, have had the love of Jesus Christ wash over me. There is nothing like that on this earth. It is life-changing and eternity-altering. I love my Savior with my whole heart. I have had some wonderful experiences. I have been ministered to by the angel Moroni. I have seen him. I have had lots of angelic ministry with people who wake me up 4 o'clock in the morning and tell me things to do. I no longer need to sleep very much because I'm woken up constantly by angels and giving me instructions on things that I can do to help further the Father's work. I don't know if you want me to tell the story or you don't want me to tell the story, but I feel like... you do want to
yeah. Your story's pretty meaty.
Yeah. Are you awake now? It's been a long journey. There was a point in my life, there's a changing point in your life, right? You're a member of the church your whole life. I always loved the Lord. There's a turning point in my life that turned me to the temple. And this is what I teach everybody. And my change of heart was to the temple. So I had been married to someone who was very awful, who raped my children, and I had divorced him and gotten away from him, and he had joined the church. He spoke in state conference. Everyone thought he was wonderful. He was very good showman of all those things, and after we were divorced, he told everybody that I was this lying, crazy Mormon and got up in court and said all these horrible things about me and turned it around to where the judges believed him instead of me. And he was constantly trying to get custody of my 3-year-old daughter and just to rub it in my face. And I went through a lot of years of this kind of hard stuff. And I was going to murder him. I was going to kill him, like the scriptures say, like Nephi killed him, just to stop the pain and to stop him coming after me and to stop him coming after my children. And I was just, I just felt I couldn't take it anymore. And I would go through the scriptures and find all the things like, if he comes against you once, if he comes against you twice, if he comes against you 3 times, then you can kill him. It says it in the scriptures. I'm like, there it is. There's my answer. I don't want to do anything that's wrong. I did not have a murderous heart. I just wanted to stop the bleeding and stop the pain. And so someone wise was speaking to me and said, you need to go to the temple. So I went and met my bishop and I was like, I'm either going to turn my life to the temple or I'm going to commit murder. So do you want to give me a temple recommend? And I was perfectly honest because at that point I had nothing to lose. You get to the bottom rung and I had nothing to lose. And he gave me my temple recommend. And I started going to the temple every week by myself, not with my current husband, just by myself to the temple, to the Mesa Temple, which I love. We moved here from Texas to get away from my ex-husband that was doing all this, but he moved here like 5 miles away from us just to continue to torture me. That was his whole entire job. And Satan had been torturing me since I was a little kid. So I've had that my whole life. I turned to the temple. I started going every single week. And when I had little kids and we were in therapy all the time and the kids were in therapy and doing all this. So I had five kids that I was dealing with. And, the Lord just taught me. He just taught me week by week. He was just teaching me, and he was just so patient and so kind. I would just be in there just sobbing. I would just be in there in the celestial room sobbing. And people would come up to me all the time, and they're like, sister, are you okay? And I'd be like, no, I'm not okay. And I'd just keep crying because I didn't want to tell anybody what was going on. I was just having my own pain. And I felt like, so the court told me that if I didn't take my daughter to him and drop her off with him as a 5-year-old every weekend or every other weekend or whatever the schedule was, that they would put me in jail. So I had to go take her to this monster, my little sweet little baby girl, and drop her off. And then I would go to the temple and I would cry and I felt like someone was just stabbing me in the stomach with a knife all the time. I felt physical pain. I felt so much physical pain and emotional pain and mental pain. And in the meantime, I was dealing with a husband and 2 stepkids and my 2 kids and then waking up screaming in the middle of the night and night sweats and terrors and all the things that go along with everything that happens with that. So I just turned it all over to the Lord. I'm like, I can't do it. You have to do everything for me. Can't do it. And he did. He does it. So for years and years, I went to the temple every week. If the temple's going to be closed for 2 weeks for cleaning, I'd go twice the week before and twice the week after. Those were the baby steps that he was leading me to. Once a week at the temple wasn't enough. It wasn't enough at all. And then I started going to the temple every day, every single day. I started doing my current husband's family's work because he's a convert to the church, and started having miraculous experiences with his relatives. Miraculous experience. Once I do it, and I bear this testimony in sacrament all the time, I'm like, I hate computers. I'm just of the generation, I'm 45. I do not like computers. They're not my friend. I have teenagers and 20-year-olds and they do it. And I sat down one day and told the Lord, I'm going to do family history and I don't know how to do it. So I need angels to come and type in this stuff for me, because I don't know how to do it and I don't like the computers. And I went up, I turned it on. I was super frustrated. I couldn't even log in. I was having all kinds of problems. I went upstairs to take a bath. I came back down. 9 names were in my inbox, ready to print, ready to take to the temple.
Now, the police report from Joe Ryan was written like this. Phoenix police received a call for service at the location of blank East Baseline Road, apartment blank. The call was from the victim's neighbor, in apartment blank. Roy Zaunga. Roy said he came out of his apartment and his dog began scratching at his neighbor's door. When Roy walked over, there was a strong smell and flies inside the home. Roy called the leasing office and they called 911. Police arrived on the scene and contacted Roy. They then contacted the maintenance person for the complex, Rory James. Rory could not open the front door because there was a secondary lock that was engaged from the inside. So Rory then used a ladder to access the balcony and entered through an open window after removing the screen, which was still in place. Joseph Ryan was found on his bed in his bedroom in advanced stages of decomposition. He was pronounced deceased by the police. No next of kin have been contacted at the time of the report. It goes on to say they took digital photographs of the scene, victim and items of interest. No evidence was collected from the scene. Investigator Love, number 41, of the medical examiner's office responded to the scene. The medical examiner investigator conducted their initial investigation and had the victim transported to 701 West Jefferson Street, the Forensic Science Center, for further investigation. After the scene investigation was completed, the report says, I shut the front door and Rory came back to lock the door. I secured from the scene at 23:15 hours. And then he says, the case will be pended awaiting the results from the medical examiner's office as to the cause and manner of death. This show is produced, edited, and narrated by me, Kathy Brooks. I'm also the creator of the YouTube channel Left Undone, Incomplete Investigations, where we have followed this case since January of 2020. We also have a wonderful community with live streams where we talk all things true crime. If you are enjoying the show and would like to support this one-woman show, please consider donating to Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult, a series. You can donate a few ways, and all the information is in the show notes below. You can donate via PayPal, Cash App, or buy me a coffee. No donation is too small. You can also become a Patreon for $3 a month to continually support the show, which gives you access to the Left Undone Discord channel and our monthly YouTube Happy Hour live stream events. Thank you again. Now back to the episode. At the time of Joe Ryan's death, nobody even entertained the idea of foul play. But according to detectives in Chandler, Arizona, Lori Vallow often bragged to her friends and family about a failed attempt to murder her third husband, Joe Ryan. As Lori was spouting off to a couple of her friends back then, they later came forward as more suspicious circumstances and untimely deaths began to occur around Lori Vallow.
No, you're fine. I'm up.
Okay. I had gotten a message that you had called in. I apologize. I left you a message on Friday, and I got pulled out of the office on a different case, so I never made it back into the office on Friday to give you a call back.
No problem. Are you part of the Lori Vallow case on the Chandler side or the Charles Vallow case?
I am.
Okay.
So I am familiar with our case and some of the other stuff going on.
Okay. So they used to live here on Kauai. And I was talking to my brother.
I'm friends with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he told me I needed to call and tell you guys.
Okay.
Something.
Okay.
Which is that she didn't say this to me. I don't think she would have ever said this to me, but she did tell two of our mutual friends that she paid her brother to kill Joe Ryan.
Kylie's dad?
Yeah. So...
And are not to put words in your mouth, are you, because she has two brothers, are you talking about her brother Alex, or?
Alex, yes, Alex. Okay.
Do you... Sorry, I'm taking notes while I talk to you. So,
okay.
So she didn't tell you this, but she told...
She didn't say it to me,
okay.
But she told April Raymond and Angeline Hall that.
And do you know when she about when she made those statements?
No, Angeline and I talked when all of this started happening.
Okay.
Neither of them live on Kauai anymore, so I don't see them anymore.
Okay.
But Angeline reached out to me when everything happened, and she's actually given, like, she one of these. Anyway, she talked to Radar Online or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But she said to me that Lori had said that she paid Alex to kill Joe. And so later when April and I were talking, I said, Angeline said this, can you believe it? And April said, she said the same thing to me.
Okay.
Lori would kind of say crazy things sometimes.
Anything in particular?
I mean, no, nothing like that. I mean, she never said anything like that to me.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that's why someone could hear something like that and kind of be like, whatever, Lori.
Okay. Do you know what kind of relationship... that she had with Joe? I mean, I know a lot of the back history.
I really don't know that much. I mean, when she moved here, Tylee was still living with Joe, and then Tylee came over, I think, a few months later and then stayed. I know she hated Joe, and she didn't like Joe, and she was happy when he died.
Mm-hmm.
She was happy Tylee was getting Social Security for it.
Mm-hmm.
She said that Joe had sexually molested Tylee and Colby, which I always found, I never knew if that was true or not, but she would tell people that.
Okay.
And she said she wasn't, their sex life wasn't great. That's pretty much all I know.
Okay.
According to April Raymond, who spoke to police on January 7th, 2020, she noted that Lori said Tylee had a key to Joe's apartment and that her and Tylee went into Joe's apartment. She stated, quote, "My understanding, if I remember correctly what she told me, is they hadn't heard from Joe for about a month, and so she and Tylee went over to check on him or see him, because I guess Tylee had a key or something. And when they went there, they found him dead."
January 7th, 2020. It's approximately 11:54 a.m.
Can I speak with April, please?
This is she.
Hi, April. My name's Cassandra Inquan. I am a detective with Chandler PD in Arizona. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Today's my Monday, but getting back into it. Hopefully I'm not bothering you too much by calling you.
No, not at all.
You have any idea why I might be calling you?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
Okay. Do you have a couple minutes maybe just to talk real quick on the phone?
I do.
Okay. So work in our persons crime section for Chandler PD, and there's a kind of an ongoing case, obviously, involving quite a few different agencies and detectives. And going through lists and lists and different things to do, I'm trying to reach out to people that either have known or know Lori Vallow.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like you are friends with her or kind of an associate of hers from back in Hawaii, it looks like.
Yes, so we were friends in Hawaii and we stayed in contact.
Well, obviously, not to put words in your mouth, but I imagine it would be extremely creepy to have somebody talk about somebody's death before it happened and then it happens. Has she ever talked about anything else as far as Tylee or Tylee's father or anything like that?
Well, when Tylee's father passed away, she had come out to stay. That was another time she came to stay and visit with me. It was right after Joe had died.
Okay.
And I know a little bit about the situation, but now I'm kind of going through everything that happened and was said, and it's kind of, I'm having a totally different impression of what happened. My understanding, if I remember correctly, what she told me is that they hadn't heard from Joe for about a month.
Okay.
And so she and Tylee went over to check on him or to see him, because I guess Tylee had a key or something. And when they went there, they had found him dead. Mm-hmm. And I guess he'd been dead for like a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks or something.
Okay. Did she say anything about kind of the stuff that was going on with her and Joe at the time?
I knew their history, and I don't know how much of what she told me is actually what happened.
Okay.
But I know they had a really volatile relationship as far as custody of Tylee. Mm-hmm. And I know, as far as what she told me, there were some pretty serious allegations against Joe, that she claimed he had molested Tylee and Colby. Mm-hmm. And that was her motivation for keeping Tylee away from him and wanting full custody.
Okay. Did she ever mention anything about Joe's actual death, though?
No, just said that they didn't know. They figured he had a heart attack in his sleep or something.
Okay. So there's a statement that is kind of floating around that a couple people that knew Lori in Hawaii have kind of relayed that after the fact, after Joe had passed away, that she had made statements that her brother had something to do with it.
That I never heard. I know that before they even moved to Kauai the original time, mm-hmm. that Alex had attacked Joe. I think he shot him or something.
In Texas?
I think it might have been in Arizona. I'm not sure where it was.
Okay.
But I knew that, and I knew Alex as well.
Okay.
And so Alex had told me the same thing, that because he was on board thinking that, this was a child predator, and he says that he snapped and that he shot Joe. My understanding is he shot it in kind of a public place.
Yeah, so that was an incident that did happen in Texas.
Okay.
So we know about that one. But there's kind of this statement floating around that Lori had made some statements to people in Hawaii that after Joe had actually died, that her brother had something to do with Joe's actual death, not the incident before.
Before that. No, she never said anything like that to me. And I had talked to Alex, after Joe had died, and he never mentioned.
Okay.
Neither of them mentioned anything like that.
Anything like that.
Now, a side note, and this is hearsay and maybe incorrect, but I was told this story in January of 2020 as well by April Raymond's mom. She told me when she was following my Left Undone YouTube channel that Lori informed April that they also took valuables, so the police didn't take all the stuff, watches, computers, etc. I do tend to believe this because Joe's sister Annie went to Lori's home later, and Lori had photo albums that, according to Annie, smelled like death. She also points out that these photo albums are not in any of the pictures that she obtained of Joe's apartment that were taken by the police department. Also, Joe's apartment was in disorder in these pictures. And according to Annie, he was highly organized. He was a neat freak. Then another friend of Lori's by the name of Angeline Law said she met Lori Vallow while she was living in Kauai, and she considered Lori a close friend. In a January 7th, 2020 phone call with detectives, Angeline Law told officials that Lori had said before that she hired her brother to kill Joe because stuff he did to them. Meaning the children, I'm assuming. She also said that Lori eventually said, Joe is going to die for what he did. She's like, people don't get away with stuff like that. She claimed she had gone off the wall and gone crazy because of what he did to them.
And then did you know anything about Tylee's dad, Joe?
Well, Lori had told me before that, and I don't know. I've tried seeing if her brother really did go to jail for this, but they haven't talked about it on the news. But Lori had said before that she hired her brother to kill Joe because of stuff he did to him. She said that he sexually assaulted the kids and they went to court for years over it and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly he went to jail for it. That's what she had told me. And then she said eventually Joe's going to die for what he did.
Okay.
And she's like, people don't get away with stuff like that. So, and you're just, you know, she would just claim she had gone off the wall and gone crazy because of what he did to him. And I don't know if any of that's true.
Well, so when she had told you this, it was at a time when Joe was still alive.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was actually an incident in Texas and with Joe and Alex, and that we do know about that, and he did get arrested. So,
okay. So it was true, everything she said.
Well, proving that she hired her brother to do it would be one thing, because that's not what either of them said to the police. But there's this kind of statement floating around out there that Lori had said this. So we didn't know when that statement happened, if it was actually because of the incident in Texas or it was relating to Joe's actual death here, because Joe passed away here in Arizona. So
right. No, it was from a lot of years ago. I don't even really know anything. I think I don't even remember the story she told me, something about throwing him in the trunk. Actually, I can't even tell you. I didn't really take anything seriously, so obviously I should have.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, you go through kind of life, and now you're looking back at all of this with the luxury of seeing what's been on the news and talking to other friends and things along those lines. So, you know, if, you know, the old adage, you know, if I only knew then what I know now type thing. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously you knew her and you were good friends with her and you saw her, you know, as a wife and a mom and everything like that. And as far as like the news footage you've seen and stuff, what do you think? I guess, 'cause you know, and I have spoken with her. I have met her before, but I'm interested as to what you think.
Oh, you have spoken to Lori before?
I spoke with her on the day that Charles was killed here in Chandler. So I have met her and I have spoken with her in the past, not recently.
I don't know. I feel like everything I knew about her is wrong. I don't know. Like, I definitely think there was some sort of deceitful side to her, mm-hmm. on some of the stuff she'd say. But she was an excellent mom, and she was, I mean, kind of went above and beyond.
Now, recently, Lori Vallow's older brother, Adam Cox, corroborated the friend's statements. Adam says, there's got to be somewhere where they talk through this because Lori and Alex planned Joe's death. Adam told this to detectives. Listen to a portion of the call between Lori's brother Adam and a detective where he explains that Alex had a failed attempt to kill Lori's ex-husband, Joe Ryan.
It's just, all of it sounds way too crazy to me. and set up and staged. Al, he lives so close to them, he doesn't have to spend the night at Lori's house. He could drive over there, and they can go somewhere during the day. That's definitely a lie.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know how you can prove it or what the proof can be. You know, that's the whole problem, is I'm sure they plan. I don't know if you can, if they've ever emailed each other or text each other, or they just plan this out by just talking. I don't know, but there's got to be somewhere where they've talked this through, because Lori and Alex planned Joe's death. And Lori found out that Joe molested her kids, supposedly, and Alex got upset, and Al said, I'll take care of him. And they planned out how they were going to kill Joe. And Al was going to taser him, throw him in the trunk, and take him out to a field and shoot him, and then bury him. Well, Al went to taser him, and it didn't work, and Joe called the cops, and Al went to jail for 12 months. Yeah. So there's something with Lori and Alex that neither one of them are. Well, Alex is excommunicated from the church, and so he believes Lori, because Lori's like, it doesn't matter what you do in this world, all you have to do is have a body and you can be saved. You're just here to get a body. And Al loves that, because then he can go sin and do whatever he wants. So he loves to hear what Lori has to tell him.
Apparently, Lori Vallow never informed Joe Ryan's family of his passing. Joe Ryan's sister, Annie Cushing, says the medical examiner contacted her family after no one claimed Joe Ryan's body. Adam, Lori's brother, also said it's odd that Joe, her ex-husband, supposedly died of a heart attack when they were desperate for money. Annie left Lori $50,000 and Tylee gets $2,000. Adam was very suspicious and saying this is a lot of red flags for him. Now, with all of this going on in between 2020 and 2021, what happens in the future, people were very insistent and questioning Joe Ryan's death. So Joe Ryan's case was briefly revisited earlier this year by the Phoenix, Arizona Police Department. However, the police said they were not able to find a connection to Lori, and they kept the case closed. As we move forward in time and more people are starting to drop dead around Lori, Lori appears to be very out of touch with reality. Charles Vallow was extremely concerned about Lori, but Lori's family enabled her behavior, and they did not in any way help Charles try to help Lori. Here's a clip of Charles trying to explain to the police what Lori was doing and his fears for himself, his children, and Lori.
Why don't you come over here? So what's going on tonight?
Kids.
How old are your kids?
6.5 and 16. Okay.
How long have you been trying?
2 days.
Okay.
But she's lost her mind. I don't know how else to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a God and member of the 144,000. She's come. Jesus is coming next year. She took all the money out of her bank account today. My truck had gone from the airport. She went to the airport and got it. I just flew in from Houston, from Dallas. Houston and Dallas. So,
where's your truck?
I don't know. Okay. A good friend of mine's truck picked me up. I went to the CSI to file a report, which is the community bridges or something, to file a report.
So you did, you did the petition?
Yeah, they ordered a pickup.
Okay. What time did you do that?
Hour and a half ago.
Okay. So what makes her a danger to herself and to others?
She threatened me, murdered me, killed me.
She threatened to murder you?
Yes. And she said,
how did she do that?
My bishop right there is in the car. He was on the phone with me today when she said, I will have you destroyed, is what she said there.
Okay. That's not a threat to kill you.
Yesterday was a threat to kill me.
Okay. What did she say yesterday?
She said, you're not Charles. I don't know who you are, what you did with Charles, but I can murder you now with my powers.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Says, I'm going to kill you too. I'm going to, yesterday was, I'm going
to. So she's speaking
you.
As a spiritual being.
She's not here. Okay. She's lost her reality.
Is this just all recent, or has it been going on?
It's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. It's gotten really, really bad lately. She goes to the temple every day and speaks with Moroni and Jesus Christ. And they tell her what to do. And now she came here today. And last couple of days, she says, I'm not Charles. You're not Charles. You're Nick Schneider. I don't know where she gets his names from. She got all this stuff from these people in Utah who tell her how many past lives she's had and probation she's had. And she's was married to Moroni back way back when. And she's also married to James the Just. And
okay, this is all foreign to me. So
it's foreign to me.
Well, I'm not LDS.
Crazy, it's crazy stuff.
I know you're using LDS terms here.
But it's just she's nonsensical.
Okay.
And I haven't seen my.
Is he the older one or the younger one?
He's 6.5 years old.
Okay.
Okay. I want to do this now. You've got a pickup order. Am I correct?
We do.
Okay. If she doesn't answer,
mm-hmm.
what do we do?
If she doesn't answer, we can't enforce the order.
Can I break into my house?
Do you live here?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
My lease. I pay the lease.
Do you guys have any orders of protections against you?
No, we do not.
No police reports?
No, nothing.
Okay. So how does she pose a threat to your children?
I don't know what she's going to do with them. I don't know if she's going to flee with them. She's going to hurt them.
You don't even know if she's here, right?
Today on the phone. I can't. All the cars are there. Garage is closed. I don't know. She locked the garage door.
I know.
I haven't been up there yet.
I know. Hold on.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is, do you normally park two vehicles in the garage, inside the garage?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a possibility that her car and your truck are inside there?
I don't think she could fit my truck and her car at the same time. She may put them somewhere else. She said to me, all your stuff is gone. Charles' stuff is gone.
Okay.
You're not Charles. Your stuff is gone. I don't know what that means.
And how long have you been trying to get in touch with the kids?
Since yesterday.
Since yesterday? Like last night or yesterday morning? Or?
About landed in Houston Tuesday about 10.
Okay. Why did you leave?
There's a trip in Houston.
Okay. And when did you leave?
Tuesday morning about 5 a.m.
Okay. Tuesday. All right. Wow. It's
Wednesday night.
So you left yesterday?
Yeah.
You left yesterday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Flew to Houston? Mm-hmm. Flew back today?
Mm-hmm. Tonight.
Tonight?
She canceled my flight. She came to the airport, took my truck.
Did she tell you that?
No. She knows the code. She knows where it's parked. She went.
Did she go with you to the airport?
No, but she's been. I go to the airport. I fly 45 round trips a year. She knows where I park. I've got handicap plates because JJ's handicapped.
Uh-huh. So, did you file a stolen...
No,
vehicle
I didn't.
Report with Phoenix?
I know she took it.
How do you know? You suspect.
I suspect. Okay. I suspect.
All right.
I know your term. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but
without concrete evidence, we can't say.
I suspect.
Sure. Okay.
And she has the keys, the code. It's a Ford. The code, door code.
Door code.
And I just want to see my boys okay. And she's got a pickup order. I need to go. She needs to go, and I'm going to take my stuff.
So you normally live here?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I live here.
Okay.
Yeah. All my stuff's in my house.
Okay.
We got a service dog in there, beautiful dog. My daughter's in the front window right there.
So let me ask you this. When you came back, why didn't you just go to the home?
Because she told me not to come near it. All my stuff is gone.
Okay.
I'm not stupid. She could have done anything.
Okay.
I thought this would be the best way to do it. With what she's gone through and what Gabe witnessed with me on the phone today, I thought it was best to have her. She's psychologically, she's gone. Something's happened to her.
How old is she?
45.
So if we talk to her, is she going to be able to have a rational conversation with us?
Oh, she will. I'm sure she will.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just.
She'll probably tell me I'm crazy, huh? Is that what you suspect?
Probably. Okay. You're a dark spirit, but she's going to tell you.
Okay.
I'm a dark spirit. Gabe's going to be, he's our bishop. He's going to be a dark spirit, whatever that means. You're evil.
And you said this has been going on for like 4 years?
Well, it's to an extent, but it's gotten really bad the last several months. And I've been trying to ignore it because hoping it'll get better.
Is she on any medications?
No. She won't do medications. She's
Has she been to a doctor?
No, she won't go to the doctor because she's a translated being, and they would find out she's translated. She cannot be killed. She cannot die.
And that's what she thinks?
Yes.
Okay. And she's been telling you that?
Yes. and gave to.
Okay.
He heard this, not just me. This is a coming. I love her to death. This is kill the officer.
Well, I can understand.
Our 13th anniversary next month. We've been at a great marriage. All of a sudden, the last month it just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
She just lost connection.
Okay. So as for, so you, has she made any statements about wanting to hurt the children or anything?
Today she said with Gabe on the phone, come take the kids. I don't care what happens to them. Come take them.
Okay, but she didn't make a direct threat towards the kids.
No, not a direct threat.
Okay. And then she said that she would murder you through a spiritual.
No, she said, I can murder you.
I can murder you. And she's talking in a spirit.
I will kill you.
Spiritual.
No, she's talking physically. I will kill you because you're not Charles, and nobody will care.
Okay. So she at this point doesn't think you are her husband?
She thinks I'm Mick Schneider.
Who's Mick Schneider?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's the name she used. I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
I'm just like, I'm as bewildered as you are. This is so foreign to me. Normal people, as far as I'm concerned, but, you know, this happens. It just drives me. I don't know what to do. I need help, and she needs help. She needs help. And I'll go to bed. I got a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. I got to take my son.
And you just didn't want to go inside because of the statements that she made?
She took my car and my keys. I suspect she took my car and my keys. I have no keys to get in.
Oh, okay.
I have no garage door opener.
Okay.
She knows what she's doing. She took $35,000 out of our bank account today. I can't make payroll Friday for my company. It's she changed our bank account numbers. I had to change it myself to get back in, and I saw all the money's gone. I've got $7 in my name.
So, what's your first name again?
Charles.
Charles. Charles lives here with his wife and two children. Charles was away on
There's
business.
Nephew upstairs. His name is Zach. He's 19. He's our nephew. He's been staying with us.
Have you tried to call him?
Yeah, he won't call me back either.
Why won't he call you back?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I'm worried about. I hope they're okay, but I don't know.
It's valid.
All right. So his question is, he lives here. There's no orders against either one of them. If we can't make contact.
But if he wants to let us in, right now we're doing a 670 check.
I don't know how to get in. I could have to break a window. I can try to.
Where I was going with this, he was in Houston on a business trip, and then he flies back in to Sky Harbor, and his truck's gone. He suspects that she went there and took the truck. He doesn't know.
He's my wallet in it, so.
All right. So, all right. Is it this house or the one with the flashing lights?
Right there.
Yeah. On the side of the road.
Oh, where those palm trees are?
Yep. And I can try the key code on the garage. I don't know if they changed it or not. I think I know the code. We just moved in January 1st. And Gabe Bonilla here lives right down the corner. He will tell you if you're on the phone with her today with me. I passed you in and she said all that stuff.
Does she have any weapons inside the house?
Yes, she does.
She does?
A rifle.
Does she know how to use it?
I don't know if she knows how to use it. I don't know.
So that's next time. Like I said before, we are just getting started. Until next time, you can watch all the videos I had produced on Left Undone Incomplete Investigations on YouTube. They were all posted in real time as events took place. Thank you for being here. Please, if you do enjoy Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult series, consider rating it with 5 stars and writing a quick review. Much appreciated. Stay safe, stay well, be kind. Until next time. Have you been considering starting your own podcast? I use Buzzsprout, and it is a wonderful platform. It's easy and professional. They will get your podcast into every major podcast platform: Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, and more. You can start today with the gear you already have and a quiet space. You'll get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics to see how people are listening, tools to promote your episode, and more. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. I'm very happy with Buzzsprout, and I know you will be too. Following the link in the show notes lets Buzzsprout know that we sent you. It also will get you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan. And it helps support our show here at Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult, a series. Theme music by Dan Lowitz.